Well, it was last year, Lee and I were driving home from Megan Brown's wedding, which was in Plymouth, and we ran out of gas. We're coming down M14, and I'm like, uh-oh, you know, and you start giving the pedal a little more gas, and it was just as we were merging onto I-94. So I'm like, go, baby, go, baby, go, baby. And we got there, I could see the Zeeb Road Bridge, and we were stuck. And for whatever reason, it was Saturday night, and there was a lot of traffic. And so Lee's like, honey, you are not walking in the dark at the snow and getting, going to get hit on the side of the road. And we're all dressed up. I'm like in my overcoat, you know, because it's a fancy wedding. And so we have whatever our insurance is that includes emergency pickup. So we call, and they said, they'll be there within 45 minutes. I'm like, honey, I can see Zeeb Road. I'll just go over there, I'll get a gas can, and I'll walk back. Well, it was the maddest that I had ever been. Because she's like, no, I don't want anything to happen to you. Which was really sweet and really inconvenient. And then, and it's like 10:30 at night, 11 at night, 11:30 at night, and they're not coming. So we call back, and they're like, oh, we'll send someone. It'll be another 45 minutes. So I said, see you later. And I got out of the car, and I walked, and I bought a little 2-gallon thing of gas and went back. And there's a lot of big ditches along there. In my dress shoes, it was really great. But how many of us... how many people here have run out of gas? Hold them high. Wow, so many people have not run out of gas. That's embarrassing. I don't know how often you feel stalled out in your life, but God's got something to say. I don't know how much of the time you're stewing on the side of a road while everybody's zooming past you. But that happens a lot in life, doesn't it? And when you run out of gas, it's never at a good time. We are working our way through this idea of unfollowing things. 299 people brought forward 6 pages, 3 columns each of things that they were following, that it's time to unfollow. And I think sometimes when this morning, maybe there's something new that we've started picking up on that has left us stalled at the side of the road. Christian pastor Peter Scazzaro has launched a new series of books and gotten the church's attention when he wrote his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. In other words, you can't go any deeper in your spiritual life than you are healthy in your emotional life. And so we spend an awful lot of time skimming on the surface. But one of the things that he said in this book that I read about a year ago that smacked me down was this: when you refuse to practice Sabbath, you're committing acts of spiritual violence against yourself. Wow. Think about it. When you are refusing to practice Sabbath, you're committing acts of spiritual violence against yourself. When you're burning out, running on empty, and not living out of the overflow of what God's doing in your life, you're in danger of this too. And so are all the people around you. The truth is, Christians today are struggling spiritually, especially when it comes to spending time with God. It might help you to know that the struggle is real. Your struggle about spending time with God is real, and you are far, far from alone. Throughout almost 30 years of being a pastor, I've encountered this struggle in virtually every person and in every corner of the church. See if you're on this list. Because of this, we are feeling stuck in our spiritual journey with Christ, living off of other people's spirituality, scattered and fragmented and uncentered, tired physically, spiritually, and emotionally, existing with only a 1-inch deep spirituality, praying, communing with God very little, busy and not intentional in pursuing Jesus, and struggling to stop our life on the run So many of us are running, not even realizing how stalled out on the side of the highway we are. The bottom line, too many of us have a relationship with Jesus that is seriously underdeveloped. We end up biting people's heads off and following all kinds of things that we never would follow if we were thinking straight. If we were getting filled up every once in a while, instead of always spending our energy on everybody else, for everybody else, on ourselves, on things that don't really matter. That is nothing less than a global spiritual crisis, if you think about it. Especially when we consider that God intends for his love to reach the world through us. And some of us are probably like, how about just reaching me sometime soon? And we have seen this is the whole history of Israel. The people of God themselves were stuck. For centuries, they had lived as slaves to terrifying taskmasters whose cruelty was only exceeded by their power. And in these dark days, God's people gave birth to children who would inherit nothing more than misery. Their strongest ally was a God whom they had assumed had forgotten them. But far from forgotten, the people of God were rescued by the might of his hand. He put their masters to open shame and led them into the wilderness. This is the story of the Exodus. And though they were set free, they weren't yet living free. They started to live as slaves to their own sin. They're committing adultery. They're stealing. They're coveting. They're lying. They're not raising their children in the Lord. They're worshiping false gods in addition to the real God. And what happened next reverberates over 3,000 years of history to this present day. And like a loving and patient father, God instructed his children, giving them the Ten Commandments. And these commandments or laws or rules that we call the Torah are really the mind of God, the character of God that he's seeking to share with his people. These rules are different when they come from a loving father. God, who's already loved them, who's already served them, who's already set them free. But all of us, we're like, just tell me the rules. Just tell me the rules. Skip the relationship. And this fourth commandment prevents us from skipping the relationship. So God gives them the fourth commandment. Exodus chapter 20, if you brought your Bibles, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. Take from what it was and bring it to today. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor your foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Most of us have heard that. Maybe not as many have read the words. I would like for us to read the words together. Let's back up one slide. Say this with me, would you? Can we back up one slide, Dave? Here we go. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. That means set apart. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I love hearing our voices together. So why don't we? We can count on more than two hands the reasons why. One of our biggest problems, we don't have time. We don't have time. And I want to shift our thinking on this. We have time for an awful lot of stuff, including an awful lot of garbage we need to unfollow, though, don't we? So God is inviting us to think of it this way. We see Sabbath as a day God has taken from us instead of a gift that God has given to us for rest, for worship, for a nap, for refueling, for celebration, for delighting, for enjoying friends, for enjoying family. In our infinite wisdom, we think the modern world is too complex to set apart a whole day for rest and for worship. We think there's too much need that we need to do, too much we want to do, to give up one day in seven, are you serious, for God? And so we follow all kinds of ideas. Our goals of our children differ very little from everyone else's who don't even know God. And we think God doesn't understand the 24/7 world that we live in today. But listen, it wasn't easier when God gave it to the nation of Israel. They were a nomadic people scrounging for food in the wilderness. A day off meant your family might not eat. Let's see, then versus now. No food versus social media hits piling up. God wants this day for you. God wants this for you. A day, a whole day every week. Now, I'm not really into preaching do's and don'ts. But the fourth commandment may be your first and your best hope for getting some traction in your life. And I'm not just talking about vacation. I'm not just talking about laying low or vegging out, though that's completely a part of it. But I want to introduce the idea of seeking God in the midst of that. God, when we Sabbath, we are saying to God, God, you don't need me for anything. Really, you don't. God doesn't ask this because he needs us. He commands this for your good, for my good in every way. Sabbath is a day to remember, to delight, to enjoy, to worship. For Christians, it's not when you Sabbath, but who you Sabbath. We rest in Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our Sabbath. When you Sabbath, you're saying, God, this is your day, and I'm yours, and you're in charge. Now I'm going to bed. You fix it. And God says, 6 days you labor, and you do your work. Do you realize God's saying, 6 days you labor, and you do your work? There's some of us that need to hear that as the message maybe for today. Scientists can explain why we track time in days and months and years, but there is no explanation outside of the Bible for a seven-day week. Many people don't believe in the God of the Bible, but still live a seven-day week. And two countries, France and Russia, didn't want to base their time on the God of the Bible. They experimented with other rhythms, like a 10-day week, and the experiments failed miserably. Peter puts it this way. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he or she is enslaved. How many of us have been overcome by our weeks? By this week or that week or every week, and we just feel overcome. Peter says, what overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. Are you enslaved to your week, to your schedule, what you follow, who you follow? Peter says it overcomes you. And here it's interesting. God wants you not to be enslaved to your job, not to be enslaved to your leisure. God says, draw a circle and write my name in it. It means God refuses to be the top of our priority list, and God demands to be at the center of our life. He is inviting us to worship by working for 6 days a week. He is inviting us then to worship by resting, by Sabbathing one day a week. There's a big difference between God being the center of our life and God being at the top of our priority list, because then we're like, yeah, I love God, and I go to work. Check, 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 check. It's not like we check the first thing off the list and move on to the rest. You don't move on from God. God's the center of our life, and then God's going to say, okay, since I'm the center of your life, let's talk about your worship. Let's talk about your money. Let's talk about your marriage, your possessions, your job, your leisure. What the Sabbath does is it keeps us from twin idols. Some of us worship our work and worship our job. We practice, we think, how could people back then sacrifice to false idols? How could people there sacrifice their children? Child sacrifice was a part of that region in the world and of most regions in the world. We practice chronological snobbery when we make fun of pagans in the olden days and sacrifices even of their own children. But today we are just as susceptible, only our God is called job or health or image or day off or group. Our job equals God, and we offer various sacrifices to our God, sometimes including our kids or time with them. This 6 days of work, one day Sabbath, keeps us from worshiping our job or worshiping our comfort. Some of us need to get to the work side of things. Some of us are worshiping our job too much. Some of us are not doing enough work that God has actually worshiped. Which are you? And can I also say, many of our folks who serve at church on Sundays are serving, they're giving to the Lord on their days off as they serve. So I want to thank our teachers and our greeters and our tech folks and our volunteers, our hospitality teams and our youth counselors for all that they do in serving on one of their days off as a part of their Sabbath. As you're looking at your life and you're saying, can I really take this seriously? Or maybe you're saying, Lord, I want to take this seriously. Imagine if you received a gift of a day every week from God. So I want to share 4 Sabbath killers, and really there's a 5th one that starts it all out. The 5th Sabbath killer, from you resting like you need to rest in order that you don't stall out of gas, is this. First of all, it's our attitudes that lead us to follow all those other things. You heard the list if you were here the last few weeks of all the things that we know already we need to unfollow. We need to unfollow our attitudes that leads us into all these other areas. And then there's 4 Sabbath killers that I want to name this morning. First of all, a poor work ethic. A poor work ethic keeps things in our time away. One day a week should look different from the other 6. Work hard and rest well. Work hard and rest well. Number 2, observing the Sabbath day without a Sabbath heart. For some of us, on your day off, you're still following what you have no business following. There's nothing of God in those things, whether it's your unforgiveness, whether it's bringing up your past, whether it's the anger, whether you're following all the media stuff. Maybe it's time to observe Sabbath day with a Sabbath heart and really give a rest to that. Rest from your anxiety. Maybe you have too much to do. You know, Jim Collins, who wrote Good to Great, the great business book, talks about you don't need a to-do list, you need a not-to-do list. Carry a notebook. Create some sacred rituals. Maybe it's having coffee in the morning with a friend or your spouse. Maybe it's chopping wood if you use your brain all week. Maybe it's painting. Maybe it's cooking. Maybe it's Sabbath with your hands if you work with your mind all week. Maybe it's Sabbath with your mind if you work with your hands all week. Observing the Sabbath day without a Sabbath heart. To change your pace, you might need to change your place. To go for a walk. Let's go out for breakfast. Resting is in the soul. A 3rd Sabbath killer is a Pharaoh. And our Pharaohs fit in our pockets, mostly. In other words, your phone kills the Sabbath. Your cell phone, your smartphone particularly. There's multiple ways now for people to crash into your life. And there's no law about this, but this tech can kill you. I have a niece who's actually a biomedical engineer from Duke. So she's very smart. And she said, I did an experiment on myself. I gauged what my emotional state was before I got on Facebook. Just Facebook. And she said, after 45 minutes, I stopped looking at it. And I gauged where my emotional state was. And I did this several times. Every single time, I felt worse for having gone there. Don't let the Pharaoh control you. Number four, a Sabbath killer that we deal with are stimulants instead of Sabbath. I don't have energy. I need coffee. I need chocolate. I need the TV. I need just to get a fix of something. I need a phone. I need carbs. I need tech. I need sugar. I need snacking. My body is crashing. I'm so tired, but I can't go to sleep. So I surf the internet. It's just caffeinating. It's Sabbath violating. And we call it America. In the midst of all that, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the heart of the Sabbath. He's saying, the life I've given you, the people I've surrounded you with, let them be with me, and you be with me. Now, some people don't remember the Sabbath or remember to practice the Sabbath because the storms of life are always crashing. I want you to listen to this encounter that the disciples had with Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Then Jesus got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and they woke him up and they said, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. Listen to those words. Lord, save us, we're going to drown. How many of your kids, how many of your friends, how many of your coworkers say, I feel like I'm drowning? How many times have you said that in your own heart, in your relationships, in your work, in your schedule, in your loneliness? I feel like I'm drowning. Jesus replied to their prayer, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And he replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? And then he got up and he rebuked the winds. And he rebuked the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. If you are here this morning and you are checking out Christianity, if you're not a Christian, realize this, your rest is only to be found in Jesus. The peace you need from resting, whatever you're doing to get your life together, the first thing you need to do is just bring your life to him and let him be the one who forgives you. Let him be the one who removes the sin from you, who changes your heart, and who starts to re-architect your life. I want to share a song with you. And I just pray that you'll soak it in. And however you got here, that you would rest a little more.
Be still, my soul, the Lord. abide. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide in every change. He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through stormy waves leads to a joyful end. Oh, be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below.
It really leaves only one more issue. Jesus said, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. If you're honest, your real issue with the Sabbath, like mine, like the Pharisees, like the people of Israel, is not over the activities you do. Your real issue today is over the authority of Christ in your life. Your real issue today is over the authority of Christ in your life. Is Jesus Christ Lord, or is he not? And if he is, then he's Lord of the Sabbath, and he has the authority to shape it and to shape you. You say, but there's so much to keep track of in this life, faith life, life walk thing. And I would say to you, you keep the Sabbath, the rest is up to him. Won't you put your faith once more in him and allow yourself to breathe and to rest and to delight in the Sabbath? Amen.